For Disraeli, it was the Jews who first gave monotheistic ideals to Europe. And if Europe instead continued to turn on the Jews, then Disraeli is warning in this novel, ultimately the moral principles that the Jews gave to Christendom would be lost entirely. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 129, The Two Tancreds and the First Crusade. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. In the story of Jerusalem, the name Tancred can refer to one of two individuals, one historical, one fictional. The first, Tancred, was one of the central figures in the Crusaders' assault on Jerusalem and the ensuing Christian rule over the Holy Land. As Simon Tebeck Montefiore describes in his History of Jerusalem, the attack on the city included both Franks and Normans. Facing the Damascus Gate was the camp of Count Robert of Flanders. At Harrod's Gate was Duke Robert of Normandy. Surrounding Jaffa Gate was Godfrey of Bouillon. And then Montefiore adds, quote, "Meanwhile, the 25-year-old Norman, Tancred de Hauteville, eager to conquer a principality of his own, galloped off to seize Bethlehem. When he had returned, he joined Godfrey's forces at the northwestern corner of the city," end quote. This was the first Tancred. The second was a character in a novel by Benjamin Disraeli, and in this episode, we will consider both Tancreds, for the latter, fictional one, reveals that Disraeli understood what occurred in Jerusalem during the days of the first Tancred, and that Disraeli wrote about the sacred city and the Holy Land in a way that anticipated what Jerusalem would ultimately become. As the Crusaders descended on the city, the Jews joined the Muslims in Jerusalem in seeking to defend it. Indeed, according to at least one account, taking a leading role in the defense of the city, no doubt remembering how Judaism had fared under Byzantium. Montefiore again describes what happened when the Crusaders entered Jerusalem. Quote, "Tancred and his Normans burst into the narrow streets. To the south on Mount Zion, the Count of Toulouse heard the cheering. 'Why do you loiter?' Raymond scolded his men. 'Lo, the Franks are even now within the city.' Raymond's men broke into Jerusalem and pursued the governor and garrison to the citadel. The governor agreed to surrender to Raymond in return for the lives of his garrison. Citizens and soldiers fled to the Temple Mount, pursued by Tancred and his men. In the fray, the Jerusalemites slammed shut the gates of the Temple Mount and fought back. But Tancred's warriors smashed their way onto the sacred esplanade, crowded with desperate people. The fighting raged there for hours. The Franks went berserk and killed anyone they encountered in the streets and alleyways. They cut off not only heads, but hands and feet." End quote. Montefiore further cites the terrible reflection of one eyewitness, one crusader, who reflects pride in what he saw, calling the slaughter quote-unquote wonderful, and describing the beheading of the foes, the torturing of their enemies, with the eyewitness adding that, quote, "piles of heads, hands, and feet were to be seen on the streets. It was necessary to pick one's way over the bodies of men and horses." End quote. Montefiore further reports that the number of people killed atop the mount numbered 10,000 and included women and children. Tancred, Montefiore continues, quote, "halted the killing, took some valuable prisoners, and was shown the treasures of the Temple Mount. He then plundered the huge golden lanterns that hung in the shrines there. The Jews," he continues, "sought refuge in their synagogues, but the Crusaders set them on fire," end quote. Nadav Shragai cites the historian of the era, Ibn al-Ghalanisis, who tells us that the Jews were killed in the cave synagogue, Hame'ara, which, as we have described, marked the closest that Jews could get within the Temple Mount area. And he cites as well Sibit ibn Alawizi, a writer from the 12th century, who wrote, quote, "The slaughter in the city was terrible. They gathered the Jews in their synagogue and then set it on fire," end quote. Thus were the Jews of Jerusalem killed horribly by the Crusaders in their synagogues, with some survivors, as historical sources cited by F.E. Peters indicate, taken captive and into exile. Peters also includes a fascinating letter sent by a Jew in the Middle East during this period, describing his attempted pilgrimage to Jerusalem, prevented by the Christian conquest of the city. The letter reveals how much Jews were hoping that the Muslims would reconquer Jerusalem from the Crusaders. The Jew wrote, and I quote Peters' version, along with his added clarifying parentheses, quote, "The Franks arrived and killed everybody in the city, whether of Ishmael or of Israel, and the few who survived the slaughter were made prisoners. Some of those have been ransomed since, while others are still in captivity in all parts of the world. Now all of us had anticipated that our Sultan, may God bestow glory upon his victories, would set out against them, the Franks, with his troops and chase them away. But time after time our hope failed. Yet to this very present moment we do hope that God will give his, the Sultan's, enemies into his hands. For it is inevitable that the armies will join in battle this year, 1100. And if God grants us victory through him, the Sultan, and he conquers Jerusalem, and so may it be with God's will, I for one shall not be among those who linger, but shall go there to behold the city, and shall afterwards return straight to you, if God wills it. My salvation is in God, for this is unlike the other previous occasions of making pilgrimage to Jerusalem. God indeed will exonerate me, since at my age I cannot afford to delay and wait any longer. I want to return home under any circumstances, if I still remain alive, whether I shall have seen Jerusalem or have given up hope of doing it, both of which are possible. End quote. The letter, as Peters notes, reveals that the Jews of the Middle East were assuming, hoping, that the Crusaders' conquest would soon be undone, not knowing that they would rule Jerusalem for some time. And the conquest of 1099 would undo the Jewish presence in Jerusalem that had flourished for some centuries. So much so that, as we will see, when Rabbi Moses ben Nachman, Ramban or Nachmanides, visited Jerusalem over 150 years later, there was almost nary a Jew in Jerusalem. And it is perhaps this fact that Benjamin Disraeli bore in mind when, in the mid-19th century, he wrote his novel featuring a British aristocrat named after the original Tancred. Indeed, the title of the novel is Tancred or the New Crusade. The story, set in Disraeli's time period, describes how the aristocrat Tancred, heir to a dukedom, is expected by his parents to enter Parliament before taking on the responsibilities of the nobility. But he is not happy. He is obsessed with the nature of faith, and he seeks to travel to the Holy Land, to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, where, 600 years before, one of his ancestors had visited as a knight in a crusade. He seeks, in Disraeli's words in the novel, to, quote, penetrate the great Asian mystery, end quote, by which Disraeli means that Tancred seeks to understand why the Jews, a tiny people in one place in the Middle East, somehow ended up changing the entire world. Throughout the book, Disraeli as narrator expresses his own philosophy, which at its heart starts with the assertion that Europe has forgotten its roots and had, during the Industrial Revolution, begun to assume that it had progressed beyond the need for being rooted in the biblical teachings that emerged from the Middle East, from Sinai, and from the Holy Land. Describing Tancred's trip to the Holy Land, Disraeli writes, quote, "Before the inventions of modern science, all his countrymen used to flock hither. Then why do they not now? Is the Holy Land no longer hallowed? Is it not the land of sacred and mysterious truths, the land of heavenly messages and earthly miracles? Is it to be believed that there are no peculiar and eternal qualities in a land thus visited, which distinguish it from all others? That Palestine is like Normandy or Yorkshire or even Attica or Rome?" End quote. In the novel, it is in Jerusalem that Tancred meets a beautiful and wise Jewish woman named Eva, and a dialogue between them ensues. Tancred originally justifies the persecution of the Jews, until Eva responds by highlighting how Christianity owes its origin to Jews. Tancred is astonished at the argument, and his religious and intellectual journey leads him to a pilgrimage to Mount Sinai, where he wonders whether, as an Englishman from the other side of the world, he truly belongs. But then he realizes that the Ten Commandments, declared at that sacred site, given by the Jews to the world, bind all of mankind to that one moment, that one Jewish moment, on that mount. Disraeli writes, quote, "Was he then a stranger there? Uncalled, unexpected, intrusive, unwelcome? Was it a morbid curiosity or the proverbial restlessness of a satiated aristocrat that had drawn him to these wilds? What wilds? Had he no connection with them? Had he not from his infancy repeated in the congregation of his people the laws which, from the awful summit of these surrounding mountains, the father of all had himself delivered for the government of mankind?" End quote. The point, in other words, is that the story of Mount Sinai and of the Jews not only created Judaism, but changed the world. Or, as Disraeli, as narrator, goes on to say, quote, "The life and property of England are protected by the laws of Sinai. The hardworking people of England are secured in every 7 days, a day of rest by the laws of Sinai. And yet they persecute the Jews," end quote. For Disraeli, civilization is founded on Mount Sinai, and yet he reflects how civilization still persecutes the people who stood at Mount Sinai. Disraeli essentially argues in the novel that just as the Jews had once, through biblical monotheism, profoundly impacted civilization, perhaps they could do so again if Europe would recognize what it owed the Jewish people. For Disraeli, it was the Jews who first gave monotheistic ideals to Europe. And if Europe instead continued to turn on the Jews, then Disraeli is warning in this novel, ultimately the moral principles that the Jews gave to Christendom would be lost entirely. Of course, much of the biblical tradition has been lost throughout a great deal of Europe and in parts of America as well. But today, as my friend Eric Cohn has written, there are many Christians who see in Jewish Jerusalem inspiration for the West, a sign of faith to so many, a beacon, a sign of the proof of God's existence in the world, and a reminder that rejuvenation of faith is possible. Disraeli, perhaps knowing that the original crusade de-Judaized Jerusalem, wrote a novel called Tancred, reminding civilization what it owed the Jewish people. And today, even as the crusade of 1099 resulted in the de-Judaization of Jerusalem, a Jewish Jerusalem now wondrously and miraculously has returned, one that can inspire the world. A sign of the age in which we live, and a reminder that there are aspects of Disraeli's Tancred that are worth remembering today. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.